Okay. Rabbi, so we're going to take a little holiday from Hilchos Lashon Hara. Today we'll speak about the Saint Alamotor. And we've got Chanukah coming up, so maybe we'll pick up some interesting halachas that have to do with Chanukah over the next few days. So this evening, Emir Tashem, at Maariv, we begin saying the Saint Alamotor in place of the Saint Barocho. Shkoyach, thank you.
Yeah.
We start saying the Saint Alamotor. The reason why we start today is because it's the 5th of December. In this century, that means from the year 2000 until the year 2099, it's always either the 4th or the 5th of December. In the next century, it will be the 6th or the 7th of December. And the previous century, it was the 3rd or the 4th of December. And it moves up. It moves up a day. It's all to do with this complicated reconciliation of the Gregorian calendar with the Julian calendar.
In the 1900s, it was 3rd and
4th? Yeah.
What?
Yep. Well, it moves on. It's a complicated cheshbon. Exactly how it happens.
Why
what?
Do you remember being 3rd?
You don't remember the 3rd and 4th? According
fourth,
to the book.
Fourth,
yeah. Yeah, I understand. But. Okay, fine.
Why is it not the Yiddish calendar?
Okay, so why the Yiddish calendar and the Goyish calendar?
Yeah.
So the answer is because the Goyish calendar, the seasons go according to the Goyish calendar is reckoned according to the seasons. You've got 365 days in the year, and each quarter is another season. In Eretz Yisrael, they started saying Talamotel of Rocha 2 weeks after Sukkot, 15 days after Shmini Atzeres. Because on Shmini Atzeres we daven for motor, we daven for rain. In Eretz Yisrael they need the rain already in the autumn. And therefore in theory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should start the rain should start falling straight away. But we wanted to give a chance for the Ole, those people who are Ole Regel, yeah, to be able to get home before everything becomes muddy and before it becomes difficult to travel. And therefore, we waited for 2 weeks to say the Saint Alamotor to give people who are on their way home from Yerushalayim the chance to arrive home whilst it's still dry. And then we say the Saint Alamotor and it starts raining. In Bovel, they didn't need the rain until now, until December. In Bovel, because of the way the land lies and the way the climate, etc., etc., they didn't need it. So therefore, Chazal were koveya in Bovel that they should not start saying the Saint Alamotor until now. It's 60 days after the Tukufa, after the autumn Tukufa al pi halocha. That's how they were masakin. And from then onwards, we always follow the Minak Bovel, even though in England you might need it a different time, and in Spain a different time, and in the southern hemisphere, Avada, they don't need it now. Now is for them the middle of the summer. Afal piken, the whole world follows from the Zman of Bovel onwards. The whole world, except Eretz Yisrael, starts 60 days after the Tukufa. In Australia, they're also starting to say the Saint Alamotor now, because it's the, they say, there's foreign right that the majority of the Jewish world lives in the Northern Hemisphere. Okay, so therefore, we basically, you know, there are people who live in the Southern Hemisphere, in South Africa, and in Australia, and New Zealand, and in Argentina. I don't know today how the numbers match up, but... Pardon?
How many there are in New Zealand?
In New Zealand, I don't know how many there are. Okay.
South America?
Okay, but there's South America, there's a lot of Yidden. In South America, there's a lot of Yidden. I'm not sure whether is Mexico above or below. I think it's above the equator. But in any event, it says the majority of the Jewish population, the majority of Jews live in the Northern Hemisphere. Therefore, we follow that. What happens if you daven Maariv tonight before Nacht? What happens if you daven Maariv tonight before Nacht? Do you start saying the Saint Alamotor, or do you wait till tomorrow morning?
Why not?
Boss? It's not yet the Tukufa. We haven't yet reached the day. We haven't yet reached the evening. Yeah? Okay, so the answer is, even if you daven Maariv before Nacht, right, even if you daven Maariv after Plaga Mincha, right, Chazal were masaking, because the truth is that the Tukufa, or 60 days, according to the numbers, from the Tukufa, will always be either 3 hours 3 hours and or 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock into the night. In other words, 9 o'clock at night or 6 in the morning, or 9 o'clock in the morning or 3 in the afternoon. Yeah? So the tekufa doesn't start. The tekufa doesn't start immediately after Nacht. Chazal said, we daven in the Maariv before the tekufa occurs. That means whether it's 9 o'clock tonight, or 3 o'clock tomorrow, or 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, or 9 o'clock tomorrow, or 3 in the afternoon, whenever it is, yeah, we start saying Maariv, we start saying Talamotah in the Maariv just before. Just before 60 days me'es from the tekufa. And therefore, even if you daven Maariv before Nacht, they're fine. The minig is that the Shliach Tzibur bangs out V'sein Talamota. If he didn't, you still say V'sein Talamota in your Kwach Shmoneh Esrei this evening in Maariv.
Started over Torahway, Northwest London, Tuesday, 22nd of Kislev, 5th of December. Reino Rav, Rav Moshe B'Tzalot, Rosna, Shlita, Hanukkah Series, Part 3. This week's Torahway is sponsored by family of Lachman, Lachman, Simchon, Asun, Benzi, Shine, Nerioi, and Chaya Kaufman. Shetikia, whose custom took place yesterday. He wrote so in Shivne, Vaya, Shimon, Israel, the Shem, Belis, Shimon. Also, Belis, Kurs, HaShavuim, Vachayolim, Vamilchamosh, Yachtul, Vatahem, Vishalom, Bimheiro.
Amen. Morning all. Last we left was we've spoken so far, Baruch Hashem, about the seven branch menorah. Lineda, if you remind me at the end of the shiur today, something new cropped up about that, so we can come back to that. Then we spoke about Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to speak about Hadlokah Oysa Mitzvah. What does it mean, Hadlokah Oysa Mitzvah? Literally, it means the lighting, when you light, that does the mitzvah. Even if it goes out, you potentially have lighting for half an hour. You lit, and it goes out for whatever reason. Let's say you decide to make it better. That's the example Shulchan Aruch gives. So you come by to make it better, and boom, it went out. You don't have to do anything. You yoitza. Kovso ein zokuk lo. Hadloka is a mitzvah. Hadloka does the mitzvah. Kovso, the fact that it went out, ein zokuk lo, you don't have to fix up. Now, maybe there's a hiddur to fix up. But with strict halacha, kovso in zokut law, your mitzvah is in your hadlocha, it's in your lighting. Now, what we have to get clear on is what's called a lighting with the potential to stay alight. If that lighting doesn't have the potential to stay alight, when is it called a lighting? Or sometimes it's not called a lighting, so I have to relight. Do I relight with a brocha? That's where I want to start. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Gimel in Siv Katan Kof Hei, if you lit a menorah, you straight away be mekayim the mitzvah. Therefore, if it goes out, ein zokuk lo. However, he says if you light in a place where it's windy, you have a window open. You light by that window. Then you do have to relight. Why? Because your lighting didn't have a potential. And therefore, it's not called lighting, so you have to relight. It's as if, he says, you didn't put enough oil in the menorah for half an hour. However, he ends off with the most strange of psokim. He says, Mekol makom lo yavorech. Don't make a brocha on your relighting. Now hang on. If I didn't put enough oil in my menorah and it goes out, I have to relight. Do I not need to make a brocha? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the Shabruah says, this is the same halacha. You put it in a place where the wind could blow it out. It goes out, you have to relight it, because that's not called hadlocha, but without a brocha. So why? So this case is easier than the oil, says the Mishnah Berurah in Shaar HaTzion. Deshemo lo yahava borur shiyichabe. When you put something in the wind, you never know. It can fight the wind, it can flicker and maybe stay alight for half an hour. You don't know for sure that it's not going to be able to stay alight. If you know for sure, it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah, if it's like in such a matzah, that for sure it's going to go out. From the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like you make a brocha. But in this case, of in front of the Ruach, you have to relight because you have to worry that maybe it didn't have the potential for half an hour. But you can't make a brocha because maybe it did have the potential for half an hour. It's something you can't be clear on when there's a subtle wind. When you don't have enough oil, you're clear. It's not going to light for half an hour. So then the Chayra, you'd have to make a brocha. But in this case, where it's not clear, relight, you'll have to relight because you have to assume that it didn't have the potential. But a brocha you don't make because possibly it had the potential. And just, you know, it got knocked out. But getting knocked out doesn't mean it didn't have the potential.
If you're not sure about the oil, whether it's in the last hour, you're not sure how much oil, you don't really work, can't really work exactly how long.
Okay, so then probably, again, it's the same thing. That it's an unclear case. When it's really unclear and there's a chance that the potential was half an hour, then again, you wouldn't make a brocha. According to this Mishnah Berurah.
Would you repeat?
repeat
Shosanissim?
You don't say Brachot.
Would you repeat Shosanissim?
I wouldn't think so.
Probably not.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Okay, next. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Hei, Siv Beis. There are those that say, since Hadlaka Ois a Mitzvah, since the lighting is the Mitzvah, therefore you have to put in the oil enough for the Hadlaka, enough for the Shir, which the Gemara says is about half an hour. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you made a bracha and you lit, and only afterwards you added oil, no good. Meaning, because since Hadlaka is a mitzvah, it's got to have that potential, b'shas Hadlaka. It's got to have that potential at the time of lighting. At the time of lighting, you didn't have enough oil. Therefore, it's no good. So what would you say? Make a bracha or not make a bracha? When you relight. The chayra, make a bracha. It didn't have the potential. Says the Orcha Shulchan, before we get back to the Mishnah Berurah, says the Orcha Shulchan, if you put shem in kashir, if you put oil in kashir, Hadlaka is a mitzvah. If it goes out, but you're done. However, if, he gives two examples. If you didn't put enough oil in, or you put it in a windy place, both cases, mechuyev medina lachzor or lahadlik, you have to relight minadin, because it's not called a hadlaka, it doesn't have the potential, or bibrocha, he says it's both on a lack of oil, or windy place. Both on a lack of oil, on a windy place. Why? The bracha Rishoni says was levatola. Yeah, okay, it was in retrospect. You didn't mean it to be levatola, maybe in the windy case. Can debate. But al kabonim, you put it in a place where it cannot last a half an hour. The first bracha is levatola. Your second bracha is what you need to do, because you haven't lit in the first time, didn't have that potential. And then he says, he sort of gets back to the Mishnah Berurah and he says, if it was in such a place of wind where it's unclear where they had the potential of half an hour or not, and it could have lasted, then don't make a bracha. But if it's for sure, naturally in a place where it's going to blow out, or for sure lacking the shear of oil that's needed, you have to relight, and you have to make a bracha you didn't light the first time, it didn't have the shear blocker.
If you say bracha, do you have to say shechiyom again from the first night?
No. I wouldn't think so. Now, what would you think the Mishnah Berurah should say here, in the case where you're lacking oil? He said earlier, by the windy place, he said, because maybe it would have lasted in the wind. So when it doesn't have oil, unless you're a Chanina ben Dosa,
you should make a bracha.
And he says no. But you have to put it out. You even put it out, because you haven't lit in your menorah, right? It's missing oil. So put it out. But put in oil again, and then relight it. Beloy bracha, without a bracha. So in Shaar HaTzion, he gives you some Mara Mekoymus. You have to do your homework. He says like this. Chemed Moshe v'nishmas Odom, Odoloi Kapri Chodosh. What does that mean? So let me explain. The Nishmas Odom says that it's very logical what the Mishnah Berurah says. Very logical. Nishmas Odom says like this. In the Gemara, it speaks about, where does half an hour come from? Yeah, which by the way, today might be all different because Apisumanis is different. But let's stick to the Gemara for now. The Gemara says there's a Zman to light. From Shkia, whatever that means, it's a whole debate. But from Shkia, till Tichle Rego Menashuk, till everyone comes home. What's the idea? Within that window of time, people are passing by your house, going home from work, and they'll see the Ness. Now, the Gemara says, why are you telling me this big amount of time, from Shkia till Tichle Rego Menashuk? I thought if it goes out, Ein Zokuk Lo. You know, if it goes out, you don't have to relight it. So, you just have to relight for a second. So, why are you telling me this whole window of time? Sounds like that you have to keep it alight all that time. So, the Gemara, no. If it goes out, you can leave it out. But Eloi Adlik Madlik, if you haven't lit in yet, we're telling you, you can still light, you still chap the mitzvah within this time. Shkia till Tichle Rego Menashuk. That's one answer. So, that answer clearly needs that time on the clock. From Shkia to Tichle Rego Menashuk, it's your opportunity to light. You miss that time, strictly speaking, in the Gemara's times, you've missed it. Then there's another mandoma. The other mandoma is, it's how much oil you have to put in the menorah. Enough to light from Shkia to Tichle Rego Menashuk. But it's not clear that you actually have to light at that time. It's a shear, says the Gemara. It's giving you a shear of oil. If you can somehow find another Pesuma Nissa, someone at a different time, as long as you put in that shear of oil, could be you're okay. That is such a way of explaining the Gemara. It's just a shear, and it's not bound to that time. There's difficulties, but that's how it comes out. Says the Chai Odom, so Oibazoi. someone that, okay, so again, according to the Shia opinion, you need to put in half an hour of oil. It's giving you this window of time, it's telling you when to put the oil in. How much oil to put in, half an hour. The other opinion, Eloi Adlik Madlik, what's it telling you? If you didn't light, you can light within this window of time. Is it telling you how long it has to be a light? Not at all. Within this window of time, make sure to light, that people see. Says the Chayei Adam, if you put in 10 minutes worth of oil, and then it goes out, says the Orcha Shulchan Aruch, you have to relight with a bracha. Why? It says in the Gemara, there's a shear of oil from Shkia to Tichlar Meshul. That's one teretz in the Gemara. But according to the other teretz in the Gemara, that Eloi Adlik Madlik is just a window of time to light within. But there actually isn't an amount of time you have to light. It's just when you have to chap people. There isn't an amount of time to light. Well, if you lit for 10 minutes within that window, you've chapped a pesuminis and you've been yotza one shit in the Gemara. So therefore you can't make a brocha because we are shaylov, sofer brochas levatola, sofer brochas lahokel. Who do we pass? We normally machmir to put in half an hour of oil and to light within that whole window of time. But if all you've got is 10 minutes of oil, you're still yotza one shit in the Gemara. So you can't, avadi, you have to relight to be yotza the other shit to light for the whole half an hour, but you can't make a brocha because it could be you were yotza, because the Eloi Adlik Madlik, the main thing is you lit. So that's a reason why the Mishnah Berurah says you don't make a brocha. So this really goes from, it's a build-up, the Mishnah Berurah. First he says, even if we are going according to any one opinion of the Gemara, or if we've got both opinions of the Gemara, and it's not clear, it will go out, so you know, the fact that it's not clear, it would have gone out, you can't make a brocha. That's a Sofer Metzias. And then he goes on to the next stage, that even if we know you're not yotza one shit in the Gemara, you can't make a brocha because of the other shit in the Gemara. That's basically the build-up. There's one more thing we need to know.
No brocha.
Don't make a brocha. Now, the Shulchan Gevorim says another thing, that nowadays we light inside, it could be there's no shear at all. Right? We're makbit to do everything, yeah? To light on time, and to light half an hour, etc. But on the other hand, it's not about the whole shear came from the outside, how long it takes people to come and go. Now you light for your family, they see it, and gendikt. There's no more to light for. But etzem, we light inside. So but etzem, after lighting for your family, you're done. So therefore, nowadays, if it goes out after 5 minutes, if you relight it, even if we're going to be machmir like the Gemara, but you're zicha yotza within those 5 minutes already. So zicha can't make a brocha. You have to relight it to be choshesh for all the things in the Gemara. But you don't make a brocha because lemaisa, our minig is to light for the family. And once you've lit it for the family, you've been yotza. So those are the three ways of understanding why we don't make a brocha, at least according to the Mishnah Berurah.
According to Shulchan Gevorim, somebody who's lighting on his own, and there's nobody to
it's see a problem. He might not be able to make a brocha. Yeah. That's anyway. The shaila is if you can do pesuminis for goyim. That's a shaila. Ramosh Shtemach has a whole tshuva about it. Because in the Gemara, it says, Ashtichla regim la shuk, and Rashi says, Rigla de tarmadoi, which is mashma goyim coming home from work. It's a debate. That's a debate. Sorry?
You started saying a case where you put the oil in after.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if you put in after, it's too late. Yeah, you're going to have to extinguish, relight, but not make a brocha according to the Mishnah Berurah.
But he did say originally one
broker,
didn't he?
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'd like to share with you, I think, something quite practical about this, and then we'll move on. People use floating wicks. Floating wicks. Yeah? Not the ones on the metal that hold, you know, that hold onto the cup. The red one that's with the round holder that floats. So, Stamazoi, just good to know, I maybe mentioned it the other day, the very machmir, they don't like using that wick because there's a hiddur to use olive oil. And those wicks are coated with wax. And hadloka oisa mitzvah, that means the rega of lighting makes the mitzvah. And at that rega, you're actually only burning away wax, you're not burning oil. Okay. Yeah, so Mamela, and they'd rather use a wick that's straight away swallowing from the oil. That's a chumrah. But what I want to share with you, I think, is quite a practical point. Often, Anyone that's prepared their menorah knows that the floating wicks often sink. They often sink. Right? They get a bit of oil on them and they fall down, you try and pick them up and... Sorry? Yeah. So they sink. Now, you'll come home a few days in a row and you'll see, oh, it went out so quickly, my oil's still there, and what is it? It's sunk. So you have to know that, you have to know what the potential of this wick was. Because if you saw while you're preparing it was sinking and your actions are, can you turn it over and you, whatever it is, and you left it there, you have to know if it's olul to carry on sinking. And when you go away to have your donuts or whatever, and you come back an hour later, maybe after 20 minutes, it's sunk. And it's a bit your fault because you knew that it might sink. You just like actions and kept on cleaning it and picking it up. See, again, it's not so shkiach, but there is such a thing with the floating wicks that they sink. The person has to know it needs the potential to be out all the days. It needs the potential of at least a half an hour not to sink.
Today you've got this one in glass.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about specifically these ones. Okay, so that's the chayra, a ha'ora that would be relevant. Now, Gemara says, where do we really light? What's the place to light? So Gemara says, outside your house. Gemara's days, outside your house. B'shas sakona, in dangerous times, you do it inside. That meant literally inside, not even by the window. Nowadays, the Magen Avraham says to do a pshara, to try and still chap pisum anissa from inside, light it by the window. Now, some places couldn't do that. Rabbi Leib Steinman writes that in Brisk, the only menorah that could be lit by the window was the Briskarovs. Anyone that put a menorah by the window, they're going through stones through your window. Somehow, Nes Chanukah, the Briskarovs menorah, no one threw stones through the window. So, you have to know if you can, you can't. But that's the minhag today, is to light by the window. This also, by the way, the Chasam Sofer says, is the reason why many women don't light, even though Afen Oiba is a Nes. So strictly, halachically speaking, the reason why women don't light is because Ishtok HaGufoy. So your husband, the husband lit, it's like the woman lit. But there is a reason that since the original takona to light was outside the house, right? And it was in a way of pisumanissus, you were like making a noise about it. So even though the woman can light, but if one person lights in the house, you're yotz already, right? It's only mahadrin mahadrin for everyone to light. They chose not to be mahadrin mahadrin because kol kvud bas melech pnimo, they didn't want to be seen at a time of where we're trying to make a noise and pursum. So they chose not to light. So now even though we light inside, they kept that old minug that came from tznius. That's a chasm sofa. But some do light. It depends on the background. So anyway, so coming back, they used to light outside b'shas sakona because the Persians used to have a festival of light, and because they had a festival of light, it's probably called Diwali, yeah. I don't know. That's not Persian, it's Indian. Okay, whatever. Some festival of light. They still have though. There's a name to this group. It's still a big. I think it's still the Roiv in Persia. This religion. It's not Islam. Anyway, Zoroastrians. Yeah. So they used to light. A light in their tifla, and they didn't want anyone else to have, so you weren't allowed, so you had to basically close your curtains and do it in private. And even on that, Tosus asked, but they'll come in your house and check, okay. But that's what they used to do. Says Aruch HaShulchan, no, nowadays there's no danger, why don't we lie outside? And Eretz Yisrael be'emus, they do lie outside, we have to understand why in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, and here not. Something that needs understanding. One minute. There's something that needs understanding. You know, with all the answers, whatever the answers are going to be, they don't really answer up why Eretz Yisrael everyone does, at least the literature, and Chutz Laaretz not. Seems like it's as though, I don't know, maybe B'shlita, whatever you want to say, it's a Jewish Shlita, so even if you don't hold of it, whatever, but you know, you can do it. But under the Goyim, then you have to keep that old Takona of Sakona. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says something that you're saying, but it's very, very hard to understand. The Aruch HaShulchan says that these countries is windy. So blow out if you light outside. And therefore we can't light outside. And Eretz Yisrael's not windy?
Yeah.
Who lights outside without a box? No one. No such thing. Right? So this, it's very hard to understand the Aruch HaShulchan. But he says, it's windy in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore blow out. Your adlock is lacking in the potential to stay alight. I put it in a glass box. Chachomim will not matriach you to put in a glass box. Only the mitzvah. I maybe still put in a glass box. He says also it'll be lacking in the person underneath. You don't see the light, you see through the glass. That's what he says. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's any better. Eretz Yisrael, you don't need a glass box. And Eretz Yisrael, you don't see through the glass box. Everyone lights in a glass box in Eretz Yisrael. There's no one that lights without a box. So it's very, very hard to understand.
We've got glasses.
Also a problem. They talk about it in Kidush Lavona, if you can do Kidush Lavona through glasses. It's a discussion.
Couldn't it be to do with whether the Pirsum Anis is for us or for the Goyim?
Wait, but there's plenty of Eden here.
Pardon?
There's plenty of Eden here.
Here?
There's plenty of Eden here. So why there more than here?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a question. It's hard to understand, but that's what he says. That again, you need the potential to be able to light for half an hour. And Eretz Yisrael can light without a glass box. Here you can't. Then he finishes off anyway that even if here is not a sakana, somewhere in the world is a sakana, you can't. And once the Chum made the rule, it's a rule. Why Eretz Yisrael is different, you have to find out. There's the big discussions about it. Now, just to bring out that sometimes sakana hasn't gone, or if it's gone, it might return. And therefore, it's not simple to overrule a takana of Chazal. When they said it's a skona, just keep it, even if times are good, because times can change. For instance, Rav Henkin, who's a big rov in America, he says, you know, there's censor in the Gemara, there's certain bits that are censored. So there's certain bits in the Gemara that are censored. So nowadays, they're back in the Gemara. Rav Henkin said you shouldn't put it back in the Gemara, because will come a time again that they'll nitpick through the Gemara. And they'll start chepering from this Gemara and that Gemara. So whatever was taken out, leave out. That was Rav Henkin's opinion. Similarly, the Mishnah Schir brings a Medrash in Eicha Rabosi. It says like this, Tarchi Yunis, some king, where the Eden lived under his jurisdiction, Shochik Tamya, a bad man, he had a child on Tisha B'Av. And what did the Eden do? They all sat on the floor and cried. Then, that child was nishtatik, became, I guess, a vegetable, on Hanukkah. And what did Eden do? Or lit their menorahs. So he killed out the community. So you see that when Chazal said the sakona, just keep it, even if we don't understand, because times can change. And therefore, he was also chassidish. You have to understand the chassidim anyway, hold to light inside, for various inyonim as well. So but he got a medrash here, also to say, in the halachic aspect, that there's an Indian to light dafka inside. Okay, so that's another case of wind playing in halacha, that says Aruch Shulchan, not that we understand it, that's why we don't light outside. Now, the Gemara carries on. The Gemara says that there was a camel going along the way with a big amount of flax. And it was going to Rosh Hashanah, and the flax penetrated into a shop. And the shopkeeper had candles in his shop, and the flax went alight, and the whole building went alight. Who's chayav to pay? The shopkeeper and his candles, or the camel owner? The camel owner. You can't get your flax going into Yenna's shop and then causing a fire. Camel owner has to pay. However, if the shopkeeper left these candles in the street, and the camel was going as normal down the street, and it caught a light, and the whole building went alight, who has to pay? The shopkeeper, because he's a pesheah, he left his candles outside. However, says the Gemara, if the shopkeeper left outside menorahs Chanukah, then it's berushus. And therefore, if the Baal HaGamel wasn't careful not to catch a light from it, the Baal HaGamel has to pay for getting a light and causing the fire. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, not like the Yavetz. He says, not only in Eretz Yisrael where you light outside, you have to have a glass box. Even at home, that we light inside, you need a glass box. Why? Because otherwise people will rush by the menorah and the fire will extinguish. So you should always have a glass box. Chumrah of the Yavetz, which according to the Aruch Shulchan is actually a chisorim, because you don't see the fire direct, whatever. Ask the Yavetz, I've got a stira, I've got a proof, like the Aruch Shulchan, that actually you're not meant to have a glass box. Because if they used to have glass boxes, specifically if they lit outside, what's the problem with putting your menorah outside? How's the Baal HaGamel catching fire with his pishton? There's a glass box surrounding the menorah. And if there's a glass box, the camel's not going to, its flax is not going to catch a light. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, though, remains adamant. You need a glass box outside, inside. Either at Gemara, he said you have to say that the pressure of the load of the camel crushed the glass and went in and caught fire. So much so, he holds, you need the glass box, he's ready to kvetch up that whole Gomorrah. Now, we come to a very interesting shaila in Yerushalayim, that came in Yerushalayim. The minhag in Yerushalayim is people light outside, in a glass box. However, when you light, how do you light? If it's a glass box, how do you light? So you open the door. So they were, it's brought that the Maril Diskim was asked, how do you do this? If you open the door, let's look at the Shas Adlokka. As you're lighting, what's happening? The door's open. Potentially, with the door open for half an hour, would it stay alight?
No.
Even Neretz Yisrael, unlike the Aruch HaShulchan. Because most likely it will blow out. Would you make a brach if it goes out? Okay, that's the Mishnah Berurah. It's not clear, that would go out, whatever. But we look at Shas Hadlaka. Very nice, you close the door in a minute. Shas Hadlaka Oysa Mitzvah. The Hadlaka has to have a potential of half an hour. How can I light in a box outside? Very nice, the box will protect it. But Shas Hadlaka, I open the door. And Oibazoi, my Hadlaka is in a potential of not half an hour. Hamayotza. This was asked. So he says, the Hatzvi says, Ritzvi Pesach Frank, he says like this. Now, it's a nice chiddush, it's very logical. Since your hand is on the door ready to close it, it's called like there's a surety already in the hadlocker that you're bound to close it. Right? So they want to say a similar thing with the oil. That what we discussed, you didn't put enough oil in. It doesn't help to add oil afterwards. You have to put it out because your hadlocker was lacking in oil. But if you're standing there with a jug, right, you want a shtickmacher, so you light without enough oil, but you're here, and the next thing you're doing is pouring, it's ready, you just want to do a shtick, then it could be that's not called lacking in oil, because the whole potential is there at the Shas Adlok, you're just doing it a strange way. It's not called, it's not there. It's as though biodoy. And we have this by Mila as well, Tzitzin, She'emak v'nesa Mila, is considered all one maisa Mila, you can do it on Shabbos. Right? So you're here ready to put oil in. You're here ready to close the door. That's not called a lack of potential in your hadlock. Because you have all the tools ready that hadlock is going to work. And therefore, it's okay. That's the classic answer. But the Geshmaka answer is, again, one of the chumras of Yerushalayim. I don't know if you've ever seen the glass boxes in Eretz Yisrael. Some have doors to open. But some actually have no doors to open. I mean, obviously there's a way to open it, to put your menorah in, but then it's sealed. You don't open the door, so how do you light? They have a hole underneath, in the base. They put the menorah there, and then they have a hole where their arm comes up and in, and you light. It's a whole shtick, because you've got to get the candle not to go out, you know, as you're turning around. But you come up through the hole, and you light in the box. And the mela, there's never a moment where it's exposed to the air. To the elements. And Mele, it does have a potential of staying alight for half an hour. So that's what is brought in the name of Hagrora Aim, Higdli Shagon, Maril Diskin, Hoy Mahada Mishum Kach, he was Mahada. This is Maril Diskin did this. The Rav Yerushalayim. Shetehea Ashoshis Teluya, remember, to have such a thing, it has to be hanging the menorah, yeah? If it's on the, you're not allowed to pick up the menorah, because then people think it's your torch. So how do you get your hand in there? If it's on a base. How do you get your hand in? So it's got to be hanging. Then, yeah, not on a base. Then you can put your hand in and light. Where to be on a base, you can't get your hand in. And to pick it up and light it is a chesaron, because then people think it's your torch. It's a halacha. It has to be down. And not on your hand in any way. So much so, I once saw a shaila from, it could only be from Rabbitzer Silverstein, that in this halacha, if you're not allowed to hold the menorah because people will think it's your torch, what happens if you'll see by hamster teeth there's someone that has Spider-Man or Batman on top of his house? Yes, what happens if you have such a man from Madam to Swords outside your door? Like this, whatever. He's your guard, whatever, you know, fake guard. So you put your menorah on there. Are you yoitzer? Meaning to the onlooker as he passes by, unless he knows your house, he might think this is a man standing here. If he stays long enough, he'll see it staying still for too long. But in the end of the day, there's that chashash that looks like a torch because he's holding it. Or lemaisa is just a buba. And mamela, it's okay. That's something he discusses. But upon him, adloko, it's a mitzvah, kofse, it's a kukla. And we have to know when we do and don't have to make a bracha.
Soil, the feet of Hebrew, Torah, Mitzvah, Shanema, Adonai, Kofet, 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 Kofet,